This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me today is Federal Territories Minister YB Khalid Samad, and we're going to be discussing the gazettement of the KL City Plan 2020. So, YB, just for some background, A few weeks back, I spoke to Datuk P. Gunasalan. He's a veteran town planner. Yeah. He's also a fellow of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. And Derek Fernandez, he's a Petaling Jaya City Councillor. He's also a lawyer whose expertise is in planning and development, right? They had expressed their views with regard to the gazettement of the KL City Plan 2020. In essence, one of the biggest issues highlighted by the gentleman was that the KL City Plan that had been gazetted was neither the 2008 draft local plan, nor the 2013 revised plan, but the gazetted local plan was a 2015 version.
Yeah.
So the 2015 plan, they say, is a combination of the revised plan of 2013 with the addendum of all the deviations to the earlier draft. Okay, so that means that City Hall's town planners updated the local draft plan by including changes on the instructions of the former FT minister, and this included change in land use and increase in densities and plot ratios. Okay, so what they're saying is that the plan that was gazetted eventually hadn't gone through processes and procedures like the 2008 draft plan had. So how do you respond to that?
Factually, what they're saying is, in terms of the fact that the draft plan was the 2015 plan that was gazetted, is correct. Yeah. The fact that they asked me to gazette the either the 2008 or the 2013 plan shows that to some extent they don't seem to understand the purpose of gazetting a plan. The purpose of gazetting a plan is in order to give you guidelines for the development. That means you gazette this plan and then you follow this plan for the development for all the projects and so on and so forth that's going to be undertaken for Kuala Lumpur. So what that means is that you don't normally gazette a plan which is historical. Because, I mean, for me to gazette a 2008 plan in 2018, I mean, it's 10 years late. So that's why the 2020 plan was actually worked on in 2008. So it was supposed to be ready by 2010, so that it would then guide the development for the 2010 to the 2020. So it's future. It's not historical, right? So what I had to do, because of the fact that the 2008 plan was not gazetted, and the 2013 plan when was not gazetted, so it was a draft. I have to acknowledge that it was a draft, and when it is a draft, or when it is a draft, that means that all the developments that occurred since 2013 all went through the various procedures that were set by the local council for any development that had to occur in the absence of a gazetted plan. So in the absence of a gazetted plan, what happened from 2013 to 2018, when I finally gazetted it, all these so-called
The process and procedures?
No. The modifications, the changes.
Alterations.
The alterations. They were all legal. I mean, because there was no gazetted plan. So it was a draft. So what happened from 2013 to 2018, which is a period of 5 years, were all legal, even though it did not follow any gazetted plan because there was no gazetted plan. So what I did was I took the latest plan that was available. When we talk about a plan, we are talking about the map that was available. That was the latest, which included all the changes which started from 2013, which used the 2013 plan as its basis. Then after that, there were changes that were done. I mean, from 2008, 2013, all changes that occurred, which followed the procedures, legal procedures, in the absence of a gazetted plan. From the 2013 until 2018, all were legal, because there was no gazetted plan, right? So what I did was, I took the latest updated plan, which unfortunately was 2015. The reason why DBKL didn't update the plan until 2018 was because the plan was supposed to be prepared for the sake of gazettement.
Mm-hmm.
So since it was not gazetted, they updated it 2013, 2014, 2015. Then after that, they stopped.
Okay.
Because they felt it was a waste of time.
Okay.
Right? And so they didn't work on the plan. So the latest that was available was 2015, which included, which used the 2013 as a basis. Then it included all the developments that occurred since then, and they stopped at 2015. So that was gazetted. Then I got DBKL to list down all the other developments that occurred from 2015 to 2018 as addendums.
Okay.
Yeah, because they didn't update the plan. They should have updated, but they felt that it wasn't going to be gazetted, so they left it as it is.
All right.
Now, with that, it's a lot easier for the people in KL to look at the updated version of the map and know what is the actual situation. Yeah. Even though they would also have to look at the addendums, which is very, leceh lah kan?
Okay.
You look at all the writing and the wording and all that, and you look at the location, then you see, okay, this has changed, this has changed, this has changed. So if I was to gazette the 2008 plan, I mean, that's weird. There's 10 years, yeah? 2012 or 2013, 5 years of addendums. They look at the plan and they say, this is not what KL is. There were so many changes. These changes, whether you like it or not, are legal.
Okay.
Because they were made when the plan was not gazetted. So you only had a draft. So don't tell me when you don't have, when the plan was not gazetted, then you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, KL has to grow and has to develop. So they used what was available in the absence of a gazetted plan.
Okay.
So all these changes occurred, yeah? And we put it down, yeah? And we listed it down and we told the people in KL, okay, this is the status. So we gazette the latest plan that was available, which is 2015, and I did it with the advice and the discussion of the people in the Malaysia Institute of Planners. I discussed it with them. I discussed it with the perancangan in DBKL. You know, I asked them what I should do. They say, and I discussed it with Plan Malaysia. What should we do? Gazette the latest that's available, because it's a functional. You know, it's for a function. You know, it's not being done just for the sake of doing. So it's for the purpose of making it easier for the people in Kuala Lumpur to refer to what is the status in terms of the development of KL.
Okay,
right?
Understood.
Yeah.
But I think what the point that they keep on making was that the 2015 version, which is the latest version, as you say, but it didn't undergo those processes and those procedures, and it appears to have contravened the provisions of the Federal Territory Planning Act 1982.
Yeah, I think the Planning Act 1982, the purpose of the plan, as I said, for gazettement, it's for future. But it's not, what we are doing is that we're gazetting a historical document.
Understood.
As it was in 2015,
mm-hmm.
right? I think what they missed, they do not understand is the purpose of the gazettement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that I gazetted a historical situation
mm-hmm.
was in itself a bit not according to the textbook.
Sure.
Yeah, but those were the circumstances. Okay, if I was to take the 2015 plan
mm-hmm.
and I put it up for public scrutiny,
yes,
what are they going to say? No, this shouldn't be here, but the building is there.
Sure.
Yeah. So what's the purpose? And the building is there, and it's already been built. And it followed the procedures
mm-hmm.
Which are to be followed in the absence of a gazetted plan.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah. Secondly, if we do that, it's 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we're through, it'll be 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And 2020, we're already working on a new plan,
mm-hmm.
which is the 2020-2040 plan.
Correct.
Right? Yes. So what's the purpose? What's the point?
I guess let's use the example of Taman Rimba Kiara, right? Mm-hmm. So under the new, under the 2015 plan, you mm-hmm. know, like a lot of things have changed there. Like we all know what's happening there, the development order, mm-hmm. You know, everything under Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan and, mm-hmm. you know, the realignment of, you know, what was a public park and now has been designated to be a commercial
mixed development area
mm-hmm. and all of that, you know, those things.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's what happened. And this case was brought to court mm-hmm. and the court opined mm-hmm. that it was legal mm-hmm. because it was done in the absence of a gazetted plan. So now we can go back and, you know, split hairs and talk about whether it should have happened or if whether it shouldn't happen. It happened. Mm-hmm. Okay? Look forward. Move forward. So what we can do with respect to Taman Rimba Kiara is to discuss with the developer, is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. The development order is legal. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can do about that. Mm-hmm. They've paid the money for the land. The land has been, ownership has changed. It's become private property, now belonging to Yayasan Wilayah.
Sure.
And they've spent 100 over million on it.
Okay.
So what we can do is to negotiate with the developer, which is what I've done, and ask them to scale it down. Right. So instead of taking 8 acres plus the 4 acres which where the longhouses are, I've got the developer to reduce it to the 4 acres plus another 4 acres, thereby saving at the 4 acres. Mm-hmm. Total acreage is 25.
True.
Right? So when they take 8, you've still got 17. And not far from Taman Rimba Kiara, within a kilometer, is the Taman Persekutuan Kiara, which is 370 acres. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, we've got to be practical and we've got to be pragmatic about it. We can try to turn back the clock, but it's going to cost us.
But if there are issues about the legality of that conversion of the land, done by your predecessors, not done during your tenure, of course, done under Tengku Adnan's time, done under the Barisan National Government, and you know, there are calls for him to be investigated under MACC. Mm-hmm. There are all these other questions that are coming up, right? So it's, I mean, is it safe to say that we can do something about it then?
As I mentioned, the case was brought to court.
Sure. And
the court opined that it was legal.
But it is also being appealed.
Yeah, appeal is appeal. But the current status mm-hmm. is that it is legal. And as I understand it, as I mentioned earlier,
sure.
in the absence of a gazetted plan, what they did was according to the procedures. Now, if we start questioning all these procedures, then as I mentioned in another discussion, then you start questioning the whole process right from the very beginning.
But
shouldn't the whole
we...
of development of KL, which occurred without a gazetted plan,
sure.
followed those procedures. So if we now start saying, oh no, those procedures are wrong, then it applies right up to 1970, in the 1970s.
Well,
because those were the procedures that were followed. So we're going to, are we going to question all the development orders since then?
Well, I think if there's a clear case or, you know, there's some clear examples of the possibility of conflict of interest, as we've seen, you know, or perhaps even elements of corruption.
Well, that's what they are saying, but it's not been proven. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that Yayasan Wilayah, it's like MBI in Selangor. Mm-hmm. When the MBI in Selangor, the chairperson is the Menteri Besar. Mm-hmm. Yayasan Wilayah was formed to be
charitable,
and where the Minister of Federal Territories is by virtue of his position is the chairman, right? So it's true the way that it was used was very. How do you say, was not transparent,
yeah.
Just like some people are saying about MBI in Selangor.
Sure.
But that doesn't make it illegal. Now, if you want to say that there was actually corruption which occurred, that Yayasan Wilayah or Kunan received money for that particular development, then you've got to prove it, mm-hmm. right? And I can't work based on hearsay or opinions. Whereas I've got 200 families waiting for their problem to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been dragging on for the past almost 40 years.
And I don't think anyone is questioning that they deserve that homes that they've been waiting for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are questioning, you know, the extra developments that are coming, you know, the huge...
That's why we scale it down,
mm-hmm,
so that
mm-hmm.
it doesn't become as huge.
Right.
So, but we have to admit that as it stands, the development order is legal.
Mm-hmm.
And if the developer was now to take action against DBKL
mm-hmm.
for not allowing them to proceed with the development, we would be in a spot because they have every right to do so. Even though the case of, the TTDI residence is on appeal, but I personally, I'm not a lawyer, but from our own evaluation and from the legal department's evaluation, we've got no grounds, yeah, because the process of coming up with the development order followed what is in force
mm-hmm.
legally in the absence of a gazetted plan. In okay. the presence of a gazetted plan, you can still make changes, but you just have to go through certain processes, right?
Okay.
So without a gazetted plan, it makes it worse. Because the reason why I had to gazette something, yeah, and the latest, which was the 2015, is at least to ensure that those which are untouched.
The green lungs that were remaining, yeah?
Which every place, wherever in the whole of the KL plan, which had not yet been developed,
sure.
Will now follow the 2012 plan. Because the ones that has not been developed is based on the 2012 or 2013. Okay, it's like a drawing, okay? You've got
sure.
a drawing. This is the drawing, which is 2013. Then after 2013, some areas of the drawing have been changed. But some have not been changed. So when I gazette that, the ones that have not been changed still remain.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that's been changed have been changed according to procedures which have been set down,
mm-hmm.
okay, which are legal,
mm-hmm.
whether we like it or not, right? So what I gazetted is the drawing, which is the original drawing, which is one that they're talking about the 2013 plan, or some say 2012, some say 2013, okay, like 2013 plan, plus all the development that has occurred following according to the procedures that have been set,
mm-hmm.
yeah, in the absence of a gazetted plan, right? So I've done that. So half of it, let's say, like for example, half have changed, half have not. At least I'm protecting the half that have not,
mm-hmm.
right? So now if they want to do any new developments in the area that has not been changed, it still follows the 2013 plan. In the meantime, which is starting now, the 2040 plan is being worked on.
Okay.
Right? 2019, by 2020, we will have a proposal for the 2040 plan. We'll put it out for public, for people to scrutinize mm-hmm. and people to make their comments. But that's based on what is actually available.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to say based on 2008 or 2013 or whatever. It's based on what's actually available. Then they will plan and propose. Yeah. Then by the end of 2020, then you'll get it hopefully finalized and get it gazetted. That will then act as a guideline for us for the development from now till 2040, which is the purpose of the gazetted plan anyway,
mm-hmm.
to act as a guide for future development, not
sure.
for previous or past or historical development. People ask me, why do I gazette in the first place? Why don't I just leave it as it is? Then Derek and all the other people will not have any issue. If I don't gazette anything, nobody, no issue. I just say, oh, we're going to gazette the 2040. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Because it's so close now, might as well we forget about the, no, we just gazette the 2040. Yeah, then nobody will make any issue. And we can be arguing about whether I should gazette this or I should gazette that and all that. By the time the argument finishes, it's already 2020. So I could have done that. But the reason why I gazetted it is because I wanted to tell DBKL that I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want the people who are now working on the 2040 plan to know that I'm going to gazette it. I'm not going to do like what Kunan did, make you work hours in a day, go for the public scrutiny and so on and so forth, and in the end, don't gazette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I'm not going to do that. So I gazetted the 2015 in 2018, even though it's ridiculous
okay.
to do so.
Okay.
And I said that publicly. I think we're the only ones in the world that gazettes a 2015 plan in 2018.
Okay.
It'd be even more ridiculous if I gazetted a 2012 plan in 2018. Right? But I gazetted the 2015 plan in 2018.
Okay.
And now we're working on the 2040 plan because I want to tell DBKL, look, I'm serious. I want it to be gazetted. I'm not going to do like what Kunan did make you waste all the time and money, spend millions, then in the end, not gazette.
Okay. I'm speaking today to YB Khalid Abdul Samad. He's the Minister of Federal Territories. And YB Khalid is explaining why he gazetted the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020 based on a 2015 version, which critics argue had not gone through the processes and procedures required as stipulated under the Federal Territory Planning Act. And we'll continue our conversation after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is YB Khalid Abdul Samad. He is the Minister of Federal Territories, and we're discussing the gazettement of the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020, which was done just last October. So just for some background, back in February, I spoke to Datuk P. Gunasalan and Derek Fernandez, who laid out why they believed the wrong plan was put into action. And YB Khalid is here joining me today to respond directly to their statements and to explain the reasons behind his decision to do so. So I think another question that was that arose from the interview with Derek and Datuk Guna was that, yes, you gazetted that one, and we understand why, because you wanted to protect whatever green lungs were left. His conclusion from that was that the correct approach should have been to gazette the 2012 finalized plan. That, I mean, this is, I'm just telling you what he said, right? Which had gone through the public hearing process, you know, gone through, chosen by the hearing committee, those sorts of things. So why did you choose to not remove those 270 questionable development orders from the KL plan and put them separately? Would you not have been able to propose amendments to the KL plan after passing the correct one to deal with those 270 development orders?
Okay. This is where I'm saying that the assumption that there is a correct one is where he's mistaken.
Okay.
Because the 2012 or 2013 was a draft.
I see.
Okay.
But
so it was a draft. It was not gazetted. So from 2013 to 2018, there were many developments.
Mm-hmm.
All these developments are legal because they followed the procedures which were set by DBKL in the absence of a gazetted plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they were legal. Okay. Whether we like it or not, they were legal. Right. So what I should do actually is to get the 2018 plan updated, 2015 to 2018, get that plan updated to 2018. Include all the addendums in the plan instead of listing them down. Okay? Why? Because that would make it easier for the people of KL to see what is actually the status. The purpose of the plan is so that people can see what is the situation.
All right.
Okay? So easy reference. Rather than reading all the addendums, they should have updated the plan until 2018, gazette that. Include in that the whole list of from 2012 or 2013 to 2018, all the development orders that were approved. Yeah. But actually when they see the plan, they will know, okay, this is the situation currently.
Okay.
Okay? So that should have been the case. But I couldn't do that because we're short of time. So we just updated or we just gazetted the latest plan.
Mm-hmm.
They are assuming that whatever that's been done since 2013 were all illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not true.
I don't think they're saying that. I think what they're saying that it didn't go through those proper channels, you know, that is
provided.
Yeah,
but it's 2013. You want to tell people what is the actual situation for people to refer to.
Understood.
For everyone to have a look at, see what's the latest, the actual situation, so that they know, okay, this land, what is the status? What's the status? That's the purpose of the plan.
Understood. Can. I think it's just that all of these things need to go through that public hearing process, and that didn't happen in this situation because there is obviously a lot of protest.
Let me just ask them if they can answer. They can't answer, but I mean, okay, when they first started in 2008, there was a plan.
Sure.
Right? Was that plan legal? The 2008 plan that people put up for comments and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was not, but it was the actual.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 2008, the development of KL up to the point of 2008, never went through any public process. But that was the actual situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they started on the 2010 plan, they had a plan which was in 2008, which was the situation of KL as it was, okay? So that's what I'm doing, showing the situation of KL as it was in 2015. as a basis for us to start. If I was to gazette the 2012 in 2018, it would be even more ridiculous. I mean, this is 2018. You want me to gazette the 2013 plan? Where else you've got the, you know, the KL plan has been updated. Mm-hmm. So what are you trying to do? Yeah, you see, you're trying to, at least what I have gazetted is the latest plan. Okay, when this, the purpose for that is, as I said, is to guide the future, and also to list down the situation as it is, the latest information for the people in KL to have ease of reference.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be misleading them by putting up a 2013 plan, which I know has changed so much and has been updated. Yeah. And people will say, hey, you're trying to pull our leg or what? Mm-hmm. Why don't you gazette the actual situation? Actually, what I should have done, if I had the time, was to put up the 2018 plan for gazettement. But that wouldn't make sense because it's already 2018, it's 2020. So you put out for public display the actual situation, not the historical. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But I had to do the historical because that was what we had, the latest. So I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to, lie to the public and say that this is the situation of KL, knowing full well that actually it's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So what we gazetted was the latest plan that we had, plus we highlighted various developments that had occurred since then until 2018.
Okay.
They're looking at it from the legal perspective, trying to have a textbook approach in a case where the textbook was never used. Okay?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. You're trying to put square pegs in round holes, which you can't, because the situation, actually you're supposed to gazette something for the future. But I'm gazetting something for the past. Mm-hmm. But the latest that I have, right? You have your, they have their opinion. They may say that it's not correct legally, but I'm looking at it more from the practical purpose of the gazettement, yeah? Which is not, in actual fact, it should not be historical, but I can do the best that I can, which is using the latest that was available.
Okay.
And that was the advice that was given, and I agree with that advice.
Okay. All right. One last question, YB. Yeah. Another question that was on the minds of them and many more actually is whether there's a conflict of interest for you to be the chairman of Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan and then make a decision to put in the development orders for Yayasan's JV projects into the KL plan, which projects were never part of the draft KL plan and has, again, they mentioned, have never gone through the process for objections to the KL plan.
Yeah. Well, because the KL plan was never gazetted, so, you know, that issue on issue, the fact that it didn't go through the public and so on and so forth, that's something that we really don't have. There's no point in discussing lah.
Okay.
To say that it went against the gazetted, the draft plan. It was a draft. The fact that Yayasan Wilayah was formed as a welfare wing and that the Federal Territories Minister is the chairman of Yayasan Wilayah.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that has been in existence since the very beginning.
Sure.
Yeah, since the time my brother was the Federal Territories Minister. So I think that was a long, long time ago.
Sure.
It was recently used as for development projects, where Yayasan Wilayah would then become a partner to development, which by so doing, what happened is that you get some benefit to Yayasan Wilayah, which otherwise would go to the developer fully.
Okay.
Okay. So now when the Yayasan Wilayah shares the proceeds of a development, so they are able to undertake a lot more welfare programs. Whether such a development should have been approved in the first place or otherwise, because of the fact that there was no gazetted plan, so you can't say that that was illegal because it went through the procedures that it should have. Whether there was a conflict of interest or otherwise, the fact of the matter is that this system where the Federal Territories Minister is the chairman of Yayasan Wilayah, that has been in place all the while, right? So I think what we're doing now is that we're trying to make it more transparent. What I've decided is that, okay, Yayasan Wilayah will no longer partake in any more development projects for the time being until we get a proper gazetted plan and procedures for development and so on and so forth are in place. as per it should have been from the very beginning. And for the time being, Yayasan Wilayah will still raise funds through various other projects, which includes the question of parking, which includes the question of advertisement and a few other programs which it undertakes, where DBKL gives it certain projects, right? Mm-hmm. So when that happens, the profits for those projects comes to Yayasan Wilayah. And what we want to make sure is that whatever Yayasan Wilayah now does is being cross-checked by the Majlis Menteri, okay, where all the 11 MPs are available, and we tell them, okay, this is what Yayasan Wilayah is doing. Well, Yayasan Wilayah has undertaken welfare projects to the tune of about 12 million to 16 million a year. And what I want to do is to make sure it's a bit more transparent by having the Majlis Menteri and putting all this to the Majlis Menteri to have a look and to endorse or verify. Okay. And so I think that's the best that can be done. Okay. But I need a welfare wing. I can't be tied down by not having access. Yeah, because if we don't have Yayasan Wilayah to undertake these welfare programs, you want to use the peruntukan, the allocations from the ministry, the allocations from the minister to the minister, and so on. So the procedures are a bit too too stringent.
Okay.
You have to put up a proposal paper. You have to wait maybe about a month before you get the funds, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth. But through Yayasan Wilayah, we have a lot more flexibility. We can do the back-to-school programs. We can help people to buy houses. We can provide a lot of welfare programs where, because the Yayasan Wilayah is a bit more free in terms of having funds and spending it for the public. What we need is to ensure greater accountability and greater transparency. And that I achieve through the Majlis Menteri, where whatever programs we do, we present to the Majlis Menteri, where the 11 MPs of Kuala Lumpur are members of that Majlis Menteri.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the plan is already gazetted, as you said.
Yeah.
But there is still some consultation processes going on, because I know some MPs have also voiced their concerns about it, like YB Nurul Izzah, YB Hannah Yeo have also expressed some concerns about it being gazetted without that consultative process. So is there still some ongoing discussions going on?
It's being gazetted, and now we're working on the 2040 plan.
Okay.
So what has been raised by YB Hannah Yeo is, in particular, is with respect to the Taman Rimba Kiara,
yes,
which she feels that we should cancel the development order.
That's right.
My personal opinion is that if we were to do that, then the DBKL will have to pay compensation to the developer. We're not going to hurt the developer. Yeah, we're only hurting ourselves. Mm-hmm. They say that, well, you just give back the money that the developer paid in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite surprised, because that implies that the money that was paid was not misused. You're saying that there's corruption, that this development was done because people made money from it.
Yeah.
Then now you're saying that, oh no, the money is there, it's being kept safely by DBKL. Mm-hmm. So when you cancel the development order, you just return back the money lah. Hey, come on lah, this is 2014 when it was paid. That money is gone, right? For okay, whatever purpose lah, yeah? But so now if you want to pay back the developer, you're taking money now, which was paid by the people of Kuala Lumpur for other purposes, right? So I will have to take away 150 million or 200 million mm-hmm, from what DBKL has, mm-hmm, and cancel the project. Mm-hmm. The developer is happy. He gets his money back. Yeah. The long houses, I will have to come up with another 25 to 50 million, build the houses. Yeah. So it's going to cost DBKL, right? And if I was to proceed with that kind of approach, then there are so many other development orders which were raised, which people will ask me to cancel as well. In the end, the whole of this year, DBKL will be using its funds to cancel all the projects that had been approved by the previous administration using current money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what help is that? I'll rather use that money and I'll rather scale down the developer's project, achieve half a victory, use DBKL's money for what it should be used for, which is for other developments in other areas to provide facilities and parks and so on and so forth in other areas. Yeah. I mean, if I was to do that for Taman Rimba Kiara, I'll have to do that for Federal Hill. I'll have to do that for Mon Kiara. I'll have to do that for, you know, so many other projects. The whole of 2019, I'll be using the money of DBKL to pay off developers. I'll have no money to do anything. Yeah. Okay. So why should I be? Why should I punish the people of KL for the errors of the past? You know, that's what people are so angry with PH now. Because of the debts at the national level, we can't do anything because we're paying off here, we're paying off there. You know, at the national level, and we had to cancel off some subsidies in order to make all those payments. So we are punishing the people currently for mistakes that were done by the previous administration.
I guess some would argue that Pakatan was voted in to correct all those errors that were made by the previous government.
Pakatan Harapan was voted in to put in a clean administration, right? Mm-hmm. The clean administration doesn't mean paying off for all the mistakes that were made by the previous administration. I mean, if we are going to do that, then we can't move. We've got to minimize the damage, then make sure that the whatever is done in future is following what it should be. You know, I mean, I don't understand the kind of thinking, like, to be frank. Yeah? They would like me to pay the developer $200 million. Mm-hmm. What for? Why should I waste good money for that? I'm not hurting the developer. Yeah, we're only hurting ourselves. So where else that $200 million can be better used elsewhere? I can build better parks rather than pay $200 million and get 2 acres or 4 acres back. I can get 10 acres of park area elsewhere, where they really need parks. Where else in Taman Rimba Kiara, you've got 17 acres, plus 370 acres. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at it in a big picture lah. Don't look at your own, rather, how do you say, you know, only that area. Yeah. As I said, you know, if I was to do that, then the Federal Hill also, I'll have to pay back to SP Steer for maybe 4 billion, 5 billion. Yeah. I mean, be consistent now. Do you want me to do that? And then not have anything left for DBKL to do for the whole of next year. For this year and next year, because no funds. You pay back SP Steer for Federal Hill 5 billion, because that's the amount that they spent building the complex in Siti Alam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've got to come up with really some pragmatic and practical solutions. You know? Okay. You can't. Yeah, I mean, the same thing we're faced with the MRT, the LRT, the ECRL. Yeah, like, you can say, hey, never mind, like, just pay back. Mm-hmm. Then what can the country do for the whole of next year? This year, next year, just pay back everyone?
All right. Thank you so much.
That's the situation. So I hope people will understand the actual situation. We've got to handle the problems, right? And we can't just say that, oh, it doesn't matter, we just pay everything back and cancel everything back. It doesn't work that way, you know? We've got to move forward. And currently what DBKL is working on is the 2020 and 2040 plan.
Okay.
So that, I think, is the area that we should concentrate on rather than raising this 2008 lah, 2012 lah, 2013 lah. You know, let's stick to where we are now, which is 2019.
Okay. Yeah? All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Rabi, for joining me today. That was YB Khalid Abdul Samad, the Minister of Federal Territories. And YB Khalid joined me to explain why he gazetted the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020 based on a 2015 version. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.